In Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2. See if we can learn some lessons from the wise men today. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much this morning for all that you are to us. We thank you that we have salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll work in our hearts today and draw us closer to yourself. May we learn something that will be helpful to us, or be reminded at least of something that would enhance our life for you. Oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us in everything that we say and do, that we might be pleasing in your sight. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. We do pray this morning, our Father, for our missionaries. We ask you to bless each one of them, supply their needs. We ask you to undertake for those who are sick. We pray that you will help them to recover. Lord, you know how frail we are many times. I think today of Dawn especially, who is suffering from these pains in her in her back and leg. And we pray that you'll undertake concerning her. Give her strength. And with for all the others, our Father, who are suffering in one way or another. And we pray for our country today. Lord, you know we're in a lot of confusion. There's so much going on, and all of the problems and difficulties with the virus and with so many other things. And the change in the presidential, administration. We pray, dear Lord, your will be done. We commit it all into your hands and pray that we might be faithful no matter what happens, that we might continue on steadfastly serving you, walking in the way that you'd have us to go. Thank you so much for all of your blessings to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 2. You know, this scripture usually is read at Christmas time. We put it right at Christmas, but as was pointed out, the wise men did not come to the stable or to the manger or wherever it was that Jesus was born. You know, it's a little bit of mystery even in that, isn't there? But the wise men were not there, but they did come later. And I thought this... Matthew is the only one who speaks about this. Did you notice that? The others have a different way of putting it. Luke talks about the birth of Jesus and the shepherds, right? The lowliest of the low, the shepherds out in the field. Here we have the wise men who no doubt were very wealthy because they brought these expensive gifts to Jesus. So all kinds of people were involved in the coming of the Lord Jesus, and he is here for all kinds of people, isn't he? It doesn't matter how wealthy we are or how poor we may be. Jesus is for everyone. So that's something to think about right there. But they came a little later. We don't know exactly how old Jesus was at the time, but we find that he was in the house, right? And it says that the wise men, in telling Herod about this, somehow must have indicated that they saw the star 2 years before. Something like that is it pointing it out here. Because Herod killed all of the children from 2 years old and under, trying to find the Lord Jesus. But this came later, as I said, after Jesus had already been. You know, you have to kind of reconcile these things because in Luke, it speaks there about his birth. And then, if you look in chapter 2, verse 21, it tells us what happened next. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So here we find the beginning was when they presented the Lord Jesus to God the Father as the firstborn son. And so that came first. And now here we have the story. It says, now when Jesus was born, but it means And during that time, after he was born, during his early childhood, we find it says, in the days of Herod the king. Herod the king. This was Herod the Great, the first of a long line of these men that was ruling there in Jerusalem. He was a terrible person who killed many of his own family members because he was afraid that they were going to take over his throne. And so when he heard that there was a new king in town, or coming anyway, there in the area, he wasn't too pleased, was he? We find here that the wise men from the east. Now, our song, we sang We Three Kings. I was thinking of this. I think I mentioned it one other year. If you just change two words in this song, I think you've got it. Instead of saying we three kings, it's we wise men. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? They were wise men. It doesn't say that they were kings. We don't know that they were or they were not. As far as I know, they were not. These men, the wise men, were Gentiles that came from the east, probably from Persia or from Babylon, somewhere in that area, and they had learned about the great king that was coming, the Messiah, who was the king of the Jews. And we don't know exactly how they learned that, but there are certain scriptures that might have indicated it. Over in, I'll just read this to you. Numbers 24:17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So perhaps this is something that they had learned about. And especially it mentions here the star. And it talks about his star. So it sounds like that some of this might have come, or it could have been that Daniel, the prophet Daniel, had talked about the Messiah that was coming. And you remember at one place in Daniel 2:48, it says that Daniel was made the head of all of the wise men, all of the Chaldeans and all of that there in Babylon. So he was number one. And if he instructed them, then perhaps, you know, down through the series of time, this word came along that there was the king of the Jews that was coming, the Messiah. And so they had the great desire to go and to see him. And it's interesting about this star. It says, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They had the message from somewhere, didn't they? You know? You know, that's the wonderful thing, that God had somehow showed these men that the Messiah was coming, that Christ was coming, and that they had this great desire to go and to be with him and to worship him. What a wonderful thing this is. You know, now I realize this was before our era. They were not in the church, of course, or anything like that. But I see you would have to say that these were believers, would you not? They were believers. They believed the king was going to be born for sure. I don't know how much they understood about the plan of salvation or anything like that. But they certainly had the great desire to know him and to worship him. And so they came following the star. But somewhere along the way, the star disappeared. Now, I was thinking about that the other day. They had this, the conjunction of these two planets is supposed to be a great shining star in the sky. I went out and looked, and all I could see was clouds. I didn't see a thing, did you? I think some places maybe it might have been clear and they got to see this star, but I certainly didn't see it. But at any rate, they saw the star for a long time and then it disappeared, so they just figured, well, we're going to go to the king of the Jews. Where would he be born? Where would you think? They said, it must be Jerusalem. That's the city of God, isn't it? That's the place where the king would be. And so they went to Jerusalem. And it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, you know why? Because he was such a tyrant. And they figured, well, what in the world's he going to do, you know? But stop and think for a minute. Had not Israel been looking for the Messiah for many, many years, for centuries? All through the book, you know, we looked over in the book of Isaiah, we saw there where he talked about the Messiah coming, right? And all that. And here, when they find out that the king is being born, what's the matter with these people? What do you think? They're troubled. You'd think they would be rejoicing and running to Bethlehem to see Jesus, wouldn't you? But they didn't. They couldn't be bothered. They were just worried that Herod was going to get upset and cause trouble. That's what they were worried about. So he gathered together all the chief priests and scribes, and he demanded where Christ should be born. See, he knew what was happening. It says Christ, the Messiah, right? The one that everybody's supposed to be looking for. And yet, when he comes, it's a non-event. So they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. Right? This was in Micah. It talks about this. Thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you're not the least among the princes of Judah, because out of you will come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They knew exactly where it was, Bethlehem. And so Herod tells the wise men, it's going to be in Bethlehem. You go to Bethlehem, and when you get there, find out where he is and then come back and tell me, so I can go and worship him also. He's a sly old fox, wasn't he? And he intended to, of course, get rid of the competition. That's what he wanted to do. But as they went to Bethlehem, the star led them again. Isn't that something? What kind of a star was this, I wonder? You know, it says over in the book of Genesis that the Lord made the great light to rule the day, another light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. Right? God made the stars. And I think this was a special one that he sent to announce the coming of his son. And these wise men were led right to the place where Jesus was. And the star stayed up over there. But he says, go and search diligently and come back and tell me. I noticed as I was reading through this, a number of times, the word diligently, in my version at least, appears. Do this diligently. Be sure you're following instructions and doing the best you possibly can. I think that's a good word for us to think about. We need to be diligent in what we're doing. And here the wise men follow, and they see the star. And it says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I know there's a song I love here, and I can't remember the words exactly to it, but that's what it says. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That's a beautiful expression, isn't it? And to just think about they're getting to the end of their journey. They're going to see their mission accomplished. They're going to be able to worship the Lord Jesus. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And, you know, it should make us joyful when we have the opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus, right? You know, Christmas time, of course, is always so a joyful time. At least, it usually is. This time, I think, has been a little bit of a damper put on things. But we can still worship the Lord no matter what happens around us. And we should not be intimidated by those that would curtail the celebration. It's always a wonderful thing to worship the Lord. So this is why did they come? He says they came to worship the Lord. They fell down and they worshiped Him. Notice this. If when they came into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped Him. Did you see that? Mary was there. I don't know if Joseph was or not. But they didn't worship Mary. They worshiped Jesus. You see? And I think this is a good lesson for us to learn. We worship Him. He is far above any other person, right? No matter how good they may have been. Now, Mary, no doubt, was a very virtuous woman. And God chose her for this. And we should honor her. But we don't worship her, right? And we don't pray to her. We pray to the Lord, to God. And here we see that they fell down and worshiped Him. No doubt prostrated themselves before Him in the fashion that they did, showing their allegiance and their love for Him. And then they gave Him the gifts that they had brought. And of course, you know what they are. We talk about these every time they have one of these pageants, the little boys come up with their gifts, you know, and present them. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, gold, of course, is the metal of kings. That was the most precious metal that was known at that time, for sure. And the thing that's so important, they gave their very best. The very best that they had, they gave to Jesus. Then frankincense was used in offerings. And it speaks of Christ being our great high priest. He offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He is. In the book of Hebrews, we find He is the great high priest, and He's also the sacrifice for our sins. It's interesting to see that picture and how that Christ is all in all that we need. Paul tells us that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your service of worship. You know, present yourself to Him, just like the wise men did, bowing down before this child. It seems like a strange thing to do, doesn't it? This person. But He's not just a person. He is the Lord. And so we bow before Him. We offer up our praise and thanksgiving to Him. This is what the frankincense speaks of. And the myrrh. Well, myrrh seems to be a strange gift to bring to a child. It was used for embalming and for with the death. It speaks of death. It was a very costly substance. And no doubt the one who offered it might not have realized the significance, but we know that Jesus came to die for our sins. And this gift speaks of his sacrifice. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they offered Him, it says in the book of Mark, wine mingled with myrrh. But He received it not. He wouldn't take it. He suffered full suffering of our sins on the cross without any kind of help, dying in our place that we might have His salvation. So the wise men gave Jesus the very best they had, the most expensive gifts that they could think of. And I think we should do the same. That's another lesson that we can learn from the wise men. Give the best you have, right? whatever that may be. And some of us may have more than others, but we all should give the very best we have. I'm not speaking necessarily monetarily. I'm speaking of our lives, yielding ourselves to Him, as it says, a living sacrifice for Him. Give yourself to the Lord and let Him use you in any way He sees fit. And whatever you can do, do it with all your heart, right? Whatever you are, whatever you might be, give it all to the Lord. Let Him take and use you in the way that He sees fit. So, and then we find, looking on down a little bit, after the wise men were there, it says in verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. See? So God here was watching a situation, and He sent them a dream. He says, don't go back to Herod. So they went home another way. They were warned of God. The wise men obeyed God's warning. King Herod, as I said, wanted to kill the new king. He didn't want anyone to usurp authority over him. He had sought to deceive the Magi, the wise men, into revealing where he was. But God was watching over him and gave them this dream, and they understood that they should not go back to Herod. It's interesting how God leads. You know, we read throughout the scriptures many times of these dreams and visions that people had back before the Word of God was completed. And here the Lord is directing them, showing them these things. And the wise men went home another way. That reminds me of something as well. You know, when you come to Jesus, you don't go back home the same way you came, right? Your life is transformed, right? When you come to Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it's wonderful to know that He is with us to help us. And we don't have to continue on in our old sinful ways. The Holy Spirit will come and direct us and lead us and help us to change our life and live righteously. And then we look on down here. The Father's loving care, verse 13. We find here the Lord, the angel of the Lord, appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt, and stay there until Herod is dead. Stay there until your enemies are gone. And Joseph obeyed immediately. He didn't wait, you know, until the morning. He arose in the middle of the night, and he got everything together, and they went to Egypt. He obeyed God's word. Now, this came in a dream, of course. We don't have to wait for a dream or a vision or anything else, because we have God's word right here, right? We have His word that we can obey and follow and do His will. So this is the Father showing His care for His Son. He protected him. And Jesus was able to go to Egypt and fulfill another scripture there over in the Old Testament. It says, out of Egypt have I called my son. So you remember God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, and but he also delivered Jesus by taking him to Egypt and bringing him out again. So I was thinking of something when I you might wonder about, because here King Herod then kills all the children from 2 years old and under. The question is, why didn't God protect the other children? You know the answer to that? I don't. We don't always understand why God allows suffering and death to come to the innocent. But we do know that He is holy and righteous in all of His ways. Scripture says God is love, and we can trust Him no matter what. This evil comes from man, doesn't it? Herod here, exercising his own free will, chose to kill these children. And God has allowed people to follow their own ways. We are not robots. And it's our responsibility to live righteously. Those who choose to do evil will be brought into judgment. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It tells us here, after a while, they got the word that Herod died, and so they returned to Israel. And Herod did not continue to be the king, because God says that's enough. When his time comes, that's it. And the scriptures were fulfilled. Now, even this about the children, it tells us here that Jeremiah the prophet had said many years before that there would be great suffering. Rachel weeping for her children could not be comforted. And you can imagine the suffering that went through that. And you think today of all the suffering, and much of it brought on by sinful men. This matter of abortion that's going on day after day, children being slaughtered before they have a chance even to live. And it's ungodly, it's wrong, it's sinful. And someday God is going to bring judgment on those who perpetrate these terrible things. But anyway, I'm getting off the subject a little. We find here, when Herod was dead, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph again in a dream and says, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go back home again. For they are dead who sought the young child's life." And so they did. They came back, but they found out that Herod's son was now ruling, so they decided to go to Galilee. Actually, this was actually going back home again. They left Bethlehem and went back to Nazareth, where they had lived previously, and Jesus grew up there in Nazareth. A very quiet place, apparently. Not notable at all. Nothing like the city of Jerusalem or some place like that. But Jesus grew up quietly there and learned to be a carpenter. Helped his Joseph with his work, and was known as the carpenter, right? And we find here that he goes on with his life until he finishes and becomes the prophet that he was, going out proclaiming God's word and presenting himself as the Messiah. You know, God led the wise men by a star. He led Joseph through special dreams, and even the wise men as well. Today, he leads his people through his word, as I mentioned before, and by his spirit. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Holy Spirit lives within us to guide us, right? and we can look to him and find the strength to do what we need to do. We can read the word, study God's word, and ask him to help us along the way. And he will. So this is all possible because Jesus came. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. And that's the beginning. I think Steve had a song, the beginning of the end. Is that it? Right? This is the beginning. And we haven't gotten to the ending yet, but we're going to get there one of these days. And but Jesus came to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life. And he shed his precious blood that we might have salvation through him. So we can rejoice in that. And we need to make sure that we are living the way he would have us to, and to do his will. And we're saved by grace, right? We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. But we're saved unto good works. And this is the thing, as we face this new year, I think each one of us need to stop and think, you know, what is my gift? What is my talent? What has God given me the privilege of doing? And exercise that, you know, as we seek to live for him and to build up the church. This is our heart's desire, isn't it? And each one of us, what can I do to make sure that happens? Huh? Just like the wise men, they were determined they were going to make it all the way through this long journey to worship Christ. And they succeeded. They went back home. Now, I don't know what happened to them when they got back home. That's the end of the story, isn't it? But we can all learn lessons from this and determine in our hearts that we're going to worship the Lord no matter what. No matter what. What's going to happen in the future, I have no idea. I hope that this virus will go away. I'm so sick of it. I just don't know what to think. But I hope it'll go away. But whether it does or not, we have to continue on, right? And I hope the government will leave us alone. Whether they do, I don't know. But anyway, we'll see what happens. At any rate, may God help us. And may we be determined to do his will and walk in the way that he'd have us to go. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. I hope that each one of us will profit from this. As we've looked into your scriptures, we pray that we might understand what you want us to do. And help each one of us, Lord. We all have talents. We all have gifts. And I pray that we'll use them for your glory, for your name's sake, and that we will determine in our hearts to worship the Lord Jesus and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.